chakra 2, the sacral chakra.
This is the tapping for money through the Reese Method chakras, and we're going to be working with second chakra today. Again, my disclaimer is I've only learned about the chakras from one place, and that is from Reese Thomas, who is my significant other and the founder of the Reese Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine, which is here in Massachusetts. It's a 3-year intensive program in full spectrum healing. And he's also the creator of what he calls the Reese Method, which is a process he puts people through in the school. So the chakras, the way he teaches them, are one part of that process. And the life purpose profiles, which I do the class on next Friday, is another part of the Reese Method process. So I haven't been studying chakras for years like some of you on the call may have. I only know it from one place. So I am not an expert, but I teach what I've learned and what really resonates for me, because there's actually nobody who teaches them the way that he does. And I think that's really cool. And that's part of the reason I dig him. So I'm going to start by just talking about the second chakra in general. And then we're going to get to some of the vows in the conflicts at the second chakra. So just in general, the second chakra, which is located down in the pelvis or the lumbar region of the body, represents everything that sort of flows and moves. It's where we sensually feel the world and come into contact with it. It's where we come into relationship with the world and other people. So your second chakra is your ability to actually let the world in through all of your senses by feeling how it flows to and through you. So it's kind of how aware are you of other people and things in your life? How do they touch you? How do you feel about them? How aware are you of the vibration of light and sound and your desires and your passions? And so if there's sensation, which is kind of the first aspect, then there's also the emotion. If sensation is sort of raw feeling, then the emotion is when we come into consciousness and assign a feeling to those sensations that actually trigger us to either move out and expand in the world or sort of contract in. So your sensations drive your emotions, and that will drive your behavior. So when we look at the second chakra, the first chakra is just totally solid. You have a body. That's your body. You're looking down at it right now. If you look down at your body, that's your first chakra. And it's just completely solid matter. It's vibration slowed down to the point. You know, we're all vibration, but it's slowed down to the point to feel solid. And you could be tall or short, but not really know it until you come up to the second chakra and feel yourself. So second chakra is actually your self-image. It's how you feel about yourself. So when people don't feel their body, when you've spent your lifetime saying, I'm not going to feel that, I'm moving on, I'm fine, and we deny our feelings, or we just take on other people's feelings, then we don't really get to feel our self-image. We don't get to feel who we are. And if we want to walk around in our life and carry power, you know, you saw the amount of power that you got from doing the sexy back tapping. If we want to carry power, how can we carry power when we don't even feel what it's like for power to move through our body, for energy to move through our body? So we have a lot of people out there, the achievers included, particularly, who are very shut down at the second chakra. So it's your ability to really feel, not think your feelings, feel your feelings. When we think about people who have a weight issue, they often don't have a self-image. They don't actually feel their body. They think their body. So we don't actually feel when we're hungry or feel when we're full. Or the achiever types who don't actually feel when they're exhausted. And they do some tapping or they do a crystal bowl meditation and they go, oh my God, I feel so tired. We say, well, how hard do you push yourself? Do you listen to your body instead of thinking your body? People who think their body, when they start to feel tired, they go, oh, I know what to do. I'm going to go exercise and that'll energize me. Okay? I know I have some of those on the line with me right now. So how does this connect with sex and money? What happens at the second chakra is because it's your self-image, it's really your feeling about how valuable you are, how valuable you feel you are. Because how valuable you think you are is based on how much you feel the value of being you. So when you are standing there at the end of that recording and feeling really sexy, it's like you're pointing at your body, yourself, and you're going, oh yeah, this right here, valuable. Okay? And so when you think about in our society, the principal needs are money and sex. Carolyn Mace talks about the three things are money, sex, and control. And at the second chakra is actually where we control other people and control ourselves and control things. So when you think about, this is going to sound a little crass, but when you think about just the idea of feeling sexy, okay, so think about someone who really carries that goddess sexy, I am all that, I have value. Let me tell you, this right here is valuable. And it doesn't even matter how they look, but when they carry that energy, does that woman have to pay for anything in her life? Okay. Now think of it the reverse, because it's kind of reversed for men. When a guy's got millions of dollars, it doesn't matter what he looks like, can he get the hottest woman he wants? As I said, it seems a little crass, but this is how value and sex and money all kind of connect at the second chakra. Some of the issues at the second chakra, as I said, we control there, is some people control by being super, super needy. Okay, the emotional intelligence specialists, as we call them in the profile system, when they're in their defense, when they're a poor me, they exert control over other people by being super, super needy. That's a second chakra control issue. The charismatic leader enforcers exert control by dominating. They like energetically grab people at the second chakra and they dominate them. The achiever rule keepers control by saying, I don't have needs. Nope, I'm fine. I can take care of it myself. The team player people pleasers say, what need do you have? I'll just have that need too. And we've all been there. And then the thinkers or the creative idealist thinkers, they basically say, what body? I have a body? I didn't know I had a body. Okay, because they often leave their body. Any feedback or feelings about that as I'm talking about this part of it?
Margaret, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Ingrid from New York. You were talking about the second chakra is what we feel and how we're feeling about it and being connected to our body. Now, what happens when we wallow in that feeling? I mean, that's definitely in the second chakra, and that's taking it, you know, sort of too far the other way.
Yeah, and so that's what we call the emotional intelligence specialist or the poor me. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's somebody who is a second chakra person who really feels the world, really feels everything deeply. And if they're in their poor me, they've made a vow. So we're going to talk next about the vows we make at the second chakra, because sometimes the vow is to express all my feelings and always be needy and look for that reinforcement from everyone. And that's why we call it when we have that profile type, the poor me, when we've had a lot of trauma and a lot of pain, somebody who's very second chakra oriented, which means they really let the world in and they really feel things really deeply. They actually can't shut it off sometimes. Okay, so when we've got that depth of feeling and then we've got a lot of pain, it kind of creates what we call the poor me, where we make this vow to always have a wound around our feelings.
Right. And to get control that way.
Yeah, you know that the people who can be very, very, very needy, even though they're not overtly dominating like an enforcer does, they're actually kind of manipulative and controlling in their neediness. I need you to take care of me. I need you to validate how I feel, to feel it with me. So the interesting thing about how Carolyn Mace talks about money, sex, and control is that when you think about money and sex in a relationship, the person that has all the money controls the relationship because they can withhold money. On the other side of it, the person with the least amount of sex drive controls the relationship because they can withhold what the other person wants. When you're in a relationship and you have the lowest sex drive in the relationship, that's a second chakra control issue. You're actually in control of the relationship in that way because you have what the other person wants and can withhold it. Kind of interesting way to look at it. Okay, so there's a ton going on at the second chakra, suffice to say. Very complicated, a lot going on there. So I want to go through some of the vows that we make at the second chakra and do some tapping around some of these vows. The vows that we take at the second chakra sound like this, so I'm going to give you some of them, and there's a wide range of them. One of the vows is to get even, an eye for an eye, or to never be abused again, to never be taken advantage of again. And by the way, when we make a vow like that, it means everybody looks like a predator forever. Or a vow to never be vulnerable and always stay in control of my feelings. Remember that I don't have that need. I'm fine. So that we're never judged. Or to hold people at arm's length. Or on the other side, it can be the opposite. It can be a vow to trust everyone and to express everything, even if it creates a crisis and drama. A vow to hold tight to people I love and never let them leave me. So there could be opposite sides to these vows, either hold people at arm's length or hold people so tight so they can never leave. Never express my feelings, never have a need, or to always have needs all the time, need, need, need. And so when it comes to the self-image, we look at the vow around the self-image. Is the vow to either hide who I am or the vow to have no self-image, to only see myself as my brains, or the vow to only see myself as a sexual being. So if I'm not attractive anymore, I don't have any value left. The healing at the first chakra is always feeling our needs, taking care of our needs, and creating appropriate boundaries. Allowing the world to come in and knowing that we can create boundaries, allow to come in what's for our highest good. So what I wanted to do was really focus on the idea of never being vulnerable, of not having needs, of making a goal to say, I'm never going to feel my needs. Because when it comes to money and relationships, if we're never going to have a need, we never allow people to really connect with us, really come in and be intimate with us and really meet our needs. Okay, so how does that feel? Give me some feedback on some of those vows.
It feels like I have a little of all of them.
Okay.
Or some of all of them.
What's the biggest one?
To never be vulnerable.
Well, for me, the idea of never having a need resonates with me, and is it's very painful for me to feel that way. And at the same time, because I've been hurt, I do resonate with that.
Okay. So this is where when we have a second chakra issue, people will say to me, I never get taken care of. I always have to do everything myself. I'm on my own. I have to earn all the money. I have to do everything. It's like I'm the guy and the girl in my house. I never get to be just taken care of. Right. But meanwhile, we sort of have this vow to never have a need, to never be vulnerable.
Margaret.
Yes.
I didn't find one. Something comes up for me that says, I only get to be a mother. I never get to have a career.
Okay. So who is this?
Beth.
Your feeling of who you are is what you're doing. So when we started talking about feeling and self-image, mm-hmm. you went to what I do. Right? So for the achiever, which you have a big achiever in there.
Uh-huh.
The achiever is, I am what I do.
Ah, that's it.
Okay, so being for you, the state of being, is doing when you're an achiever rule keeper. The achiever rule keepers, as we call them in the profiles, they have the most closed second chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because they deny their feelings and they're, well, what about all this? What about what I get to do? I mean, I. So you moved up to the doing conflict.
Thank you. Bingo.
I just want you to watch, just as I say that to you, are you judging yourself in your head and saying, oh my God, I'm doing it wrong?
a variation of that, but you're in the right church.
So, you know, I have to be careful when I give feedback to my achiever rule keepers, because in their head they go, oh my God, see, I'm doing it wrong. You go right to judgment.
I'm going to write that down.
That's that misplaced. With Reese, he uses the crystal bowls to show this to people, and he'll play the bowl for the second chakra. And a rule keeper achiever will feel it in their third chakra. They'll say, I feel that in my stomach, because it's your doing. It's who I am. I'm a doer. Or he'll play the heart, and they'll feel it in their third chakra instead of in their heart. My heart is in my third chakra. It's what I do. Love is doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's probably why that the recording was really good. You really liked it. There's really a lot of energy moving for you.
Okay.
So there's a vow in there that says, I'm not going to have a need. I'm going to focus on other people's needs.
Okay.
Before you got to the, who am I? Okay. Anybody else? Feedback on that one?
Margaret, this is Jordan in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if it's possible to be a achiever and also have the emotional intelligence and feel everything all the time in my second.
It's more likely that you have, if you've got the emotional intelligence specialist, that you have more of the charismatic leader, and you might achieve a lot, but it's from the charismatic leader, because those two typically go together.
Hmm.
It's not too common that we see somebody that has such opposite ends, where they have an achiever and rule keeper, which denies all their feelings, and then there is this big emotional intelligence specialist, right? Usually that's kind of the charismatic leader and the emotional intelligence specialist are together. But it could be.
Well, so if I feel a lot of emotion in the stomach, then you're saying that's more the third?
Yeah, that's more your third chakra.
Okay.
Let's do some tapping around this vow and just see what it brings up for people. But did we have some people on the call who sort of made a vow that feel like they made the opposite vow, that feelings overwhelm them, or that to always express their feelings to create crises? And
I would say feelings often overwhelm me, but I don't need to always have my feelings expressed publicly. I can handle them on my own, but I don't need a crisis. In fact, I've had enough of them. But if I'm answering the question or not, but I wanted to jump in on your thought.
What about the vow to get even? Sometimes that's the one that comes up around money, right? And so the two ways money can come up here is when we make a vow to never really have a need, where we're almost saying to the universe, I don't have any needs. I don't need money. I don't have any needs, because money represents having relaxation and life balance and good things in our life and nurturing ourselves and having freedom. And we've kind of said, I don't really have a need. I'm not really going to be vulnerable like that, where I'm going to show that I have a need. The vow to get even can often be around a wound with our parents around money. We're vowing to get even with our parents or somebody who had a really negative energy around money. Anyone that resonate for anyone? I vow to get even.
Well,
I think I have that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think some of that is coming up.
How would that show up, Margaret?
Well, it's often just talking about it. It'll trigger, you know, oh, yeah, there's somebody that I'm really, my whole life I feel like I've been battling their judgment or battling their injustice, and I'm going to show them.
Okay, so it's not necessarily about not making money. Okay.
Yeah, and the reason why I bring it up with money is because I just find a lot of people, when we get into their money issues, they had somebody in their life that was a really negative role model around money, who was selfish and mean and hurt people, and they made a vow to never be like that and to show that person, I'm going to be a good person and I'm never going to have money and I'm going to get even with you over that. I know it doesn't make logical sense. And so they never allow themselves to accumulate wealth because they're somehow showing that person, getting even with them, showing them you were wrong and good people aren't like that. These aren't conscious decisions we make. It's just a pattern that I see with people over and over and over.
Margaret, this is Ingrid again. What about, like, if you have a person, like, you know, parents who said, well, the only way you're going to have money is if you work, you know, 24/7 and never have any fun. And so then I have this feeling of, like, oh, poor me, I have to work all the time and I can never have any fun. And then at the same time, I have that achiever, rule keeper feeling that says, you know, I don't really have any needs. I can just work all the time.
Right, yeah. So you probably have both. You probably have the two primaries, charismatic leader and achiever, rule keeper, which is really common. Okay. But the getting even part for you would be that anger against that limit. It's the anger that you may have expressed to them when you're younger. No, that's not right. That's not, it's going to be different for me. I'll show you.
Right.
Right. And so we sort of go back and forth with battling that, but we often end up living that truth of our parents.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
So I need someone want to be my echo, and everyone else can star six and mute.
Margaret, I have a question.
Sure.
I seem to be coming up with the feeling that I always feel like I have to do it myself, or I have to take care of myself.
Yeah.
But then when I have money, it's almost like I feel that if I don't spend it, if someone else knows that I have it, they'll spend it and basically waste it.
And so is that
I have to spend it towards the things that I feel that we need first.
And so is that a vow to always be responsible with money?
Hmm.
Instead of fun? Instead of using it for, you know, for fun? Because to have fun and to enjoy life is a need. So money is something that has to be used in a responsible way for the important things.
Yes.
Right. And so again, this is the achiever part that always feels on my own and unsupported, and it's all on me, and I'm all responsible for everything. And so there's the vow in there is to say, I'm going to allow myself to meet certain needs, to meet the basics.
Right.
Beyond that, it's wasteful.
Yes, and I find myself spending a fair portion of it to educate myself.
Right, and so it's okay for you to be learning and achieving more.
Mm-hmm.
But what about just play?
Okay.
What about just indulging?
Once in a while, not much.
Right. Dear Lord, not too much. Okay, so do you want to be my echo? Because you're actually coming through really nice and clear.
I could do that.
Okay, so everyone else can star six and mute. And so karate chop point. Even though I made a vow.
Even though I made a vow.
Way down in my second chakra.
Way down in my second chakra.
To never honor my needs.
To never honor my needs.
To never have a need.
To never have a need.
To never be vulnerable like that.
To never be vulnerable like that.
I honor who I am.
I honor who I am.
And all my deep feelings.
And all my deep feelings.
That I don't let myself feel.
That I don't let myself feel.
Even though I made this vow.
Even though I made this vow.
To always stay in control of my feelings.
To always stay in control of my feelings.
To never show my vulnerability.
To never show my vulnerability.
To never express a need.
To never express a need.
And boy, has it worked.
And boy, has it worked.
Because the universe and people.
Because the universe and people.
Are only too happy to treat me that way.
Are only too happy to treat me that way.
I'm just going to honor the conflict in this for me.
I'm just going to honor the conflict in this for me.
Even though I made this vow.
Even though I made this vow.
Way down in my second chakra.
Way down in my second chakra.
To never be vulnerable.
To never be vulnerable.
To avoid feeling my feelings.
To avoid feeling my feelings.
So I can just be better than that.
So I can just be better than that.
And achieve more.
And achieve more.
And be more responsible.
And be more responsible.
I'm just going to honor.
I'm just going to honor.
How this holds me back.
How this holds me back.
From intimacy.
From intimacy.
From people.
From people.
Even from money.
Even from money.
Because I don't let myself have a need.
Because I don't let myself have a need.
Tapping through the points. The truth is, I have some really big needs.
The truth is, I have some really big needs.
To be loved and nurtured.
To be loved and nurtured.
To be treasured.
To be treasured.
To feel adored.
To feel adored.
To feel sexy.
To feel sexy.
Like the whole world loves me.
Like the whole world loves me.
I actually have a lot of needs.
I actually have a lot of needs.
But I found out early.
But I found out early.
They weren't going to get met.
They weren't going to get met.
By the people around me.
By the people around me.
So I made this vow.
So I made this vow.
To not feel them anymore.
To not feel them anymore.
To deny them.
To deny them.
To never be vulnerable.
To never be vulnerable.
Which means I'm not a very good receiver.
Which means I'm not a very good receiver.
Because I'm always saying.
Because I'm always saying.
I'm all set.
I'm all set.
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I can take care of it.
I can take care of it.
And it's not actually true.
And it's not actually true.
I honor this old vow.
I honor this old vow.
And how vulnerable I really am.
And how vulnerable I really am.
If I went down out of my head.
If I went down out of my head.
Down into my body.
Down into my body.
And felt my real need.
And felt my real need.
To be loved and adored.
To be loved and adored.
To feel treasured.
To feel treasured.
To feel opulent.
To feel opulent.
To feel like a goddess.
To feel like a goddess.
Okay, and take a nice deep breath. So how did that feel? Just saying the words, I'm actually vulnerable. Did that short circuit some, do we have any electrical fires going off in the brain?
Yes.
Okay. Ouch! I can't process that.
It was a little touchy.
Okay. And so what's the feeling that came up? Was there a thought, I can't go there, or was there a fear?
It's not safe.
This is Ingrid. Can I chime in here?
Sure.
Okay. So for me, that brought up really a lot of emotion because that is pretty much how I lived my whole childhood.
Okay.
And it's really, you know, how I feel like I have to live my life not wanting to be to any of those things because I think it's not available for me. And it's really scary to want all of that support, all of that adoration, because I'm afraid I'm not going to get it, so there's a lot of fear about wanting it.
Okay. So,
you've not had gotten it before. You don't feel like you can get it now.
Yeah, and so this is how the wounds at the lower chakras control everything at the upper chakras, right? People think we can heal things with our upper chakras. But because you have that wound in first and second chakra, right, because it probably came from your tribe, from your family, when you come up into the second chakra and come into relationship with people, it doesn't feel safe to have any wants. And as you come up into sixth chakra and you look at the world that way, it doesn't look safe out there. None of that's coming my way. So we come up to the sixth chakra and we see it limited quantity. Sixth and seventh chakra means now I see the whole world as limited in this way, because if I have a want, it's not going to be met. Okay, this is why this lower chakra stuff is so important, because it comes all the way up, affects the way who we are, how we love, how we speak our truth. We won't speak our needs, right? How we see the world. It's interesting how these vows create vows all the way up.
Is that the analytical aspect of yourself deciding that it's just not safe?
It's actually your unconscious mind, which is there to keep you safe from emotional pain, which is just as painful as physical pain often. Okay, so the achievers that we talk about, they make a decision young to become little adults.
Oh, yes.
That's where we see that sadness coming up of the lost childhood. So I just want you to notice that your feelings about this and where they are, where is that sadness sitting in your body? Okay, because your feelings are real and your thoughts are not. So if you were to even imagine that you let yourself feel that sadness, where would it be?
I feel like it's a number of places. I feel like it's in the second chakra, but I also feel it in my stomach.
Okay.
And for me, I feel it in my heart.
Right, and so we've come down out of the head a little bit.
A little, but fighting with me.
Okay. So let's everyone mute again, and we'll do another round on this. I really want us all to think about the implications of making a vow to not have needs. So karate chop point, even though it doesn't feel safe, to look at this, never mind to actually feel it, it's really sad, there's a lot of loss there.
There's a lot of loss there.
I honor all my feelings. And the energy moving through my body. Even though this doesn't feel safe. I want to run screaming back up to my head. And not feel this at all.
It's too sad.
And it can never be fixed.
and it can never be fixed.
It's stupid to feel this.
It's stupid to feel this.
I totally honor my feelings anyway.
I totally honor my feelings anyway.
And I'm open to healing this.
And I'm open to healing this.
Tapping through the points. All this sadness.
All this sadness.
Everything I lost.
Everything I lost.
Because of this vow.
Because of this vow.
Because it wasn't safe.
Because it wasn't safe.
Because of what they did.
Because of what they did.
How wrong they did it.
How wrong they did it.
It wasn't safe for me.
It wasn't safe for me.
To have wants.
To have wants.
To let myself be vulnerable.
To let myself be vulnerable.
By really having a need.
By really having a need.
It's scary.
It's scary.
It wasn't safe then.
It wasn't safe then.
Still doesn't feel safe now.
Still doesn't feel safe now.
What's the point of feeling all this sadness?
What's the point of feeling all this sadness?
I totally honor the sadness in my body.
I totally honor the sadness in my body.
And I'm open to healing it.
And I'm open to healing it.
So I can be free.
So I can be free.
Because under that vow.
Under that vow.
Was an unmet need.
Was an unmet need.
That's still unmet.
That's still unmet.
As I clear away this sadness.
As I clear away this sadness.
I can finally meet that need.
I can finally meet that need.
I'm open to healing this.
I'm open to healing this.
And everywhere it's rooted.
And everywhere that it's rooted.
In my mind, body, and energy system.
In my mind, body, and energy system.
For my highest good.
For my highest good.
For my life purpose.
For my life purpose.
For my healing.
For my healing.
Okay, and take a nice deep breath. Check in where that is again. Where the fear is.
Down in my heart.
Okay. Okay, and so being in your heart is a really good place for you. Because the achievers that we have on the line, if you're that achiever, as we call it in the profile system, you're sixth and fourth chakra oriented. Those two together. Okay, six, because you're very smart, very brilliant, and you see everything, which means you feel responsible for everything. and fourth chakra. So your heart chakra needs to be open, too, to be in your power. When you're all up in your head, you don't get to feel your core, feel your body, feel your heart. So when you feel it in your heart, it means that you've got compassion going on right now, or sadness, or love, or something, but we've at least opened up a little wall there that you usually keep around your heart.
Absolutely. Feels more like compassion now.
So I want you to just picture the younger version of you that made that decision. So everybody picture themselves and see what age pops up in your mind's eye that you made that vow to stop having needs. To control those feelings. And do you have compassion for that child? See
Margaret,
why they, yes.
This is Carmen. I'm getting that the sadness is around the little kid not having the little kid in me having to be a little adult.
Yeah. And so what's the sadness is lost, so what did you lose? By having to be a little adult.
I lost being a kid.
What's good about that?
Not much.
Yeah. Well, what's good about being a kid, right? Because sometimes as adults we say, you should act more like an adult to a kid.
Right.
So what's the loss? What do kids get to experience?
Play, joy, being in the moment, fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Children are carefree. Imagine.
Yeah, no responsibility. Yeah.
imagine if you gave yourself freedom for responsibility, even for like a half an hour, a week.
What does that look like?
Oh my God. Start with 10 minutes so you don't blow a gasket, right? And so, right. And so that's the calling for you. That's the healing for you, is that in healing this, that's what you're calling for more of in your life. Is it the tiniest break from being ultra responsible?
Well, and is that why people would do, maybe do sabotage type of things where they're totally irresponsible, like around money?
Yeah, there's some, depending on your personality type, right? You're, that little child's going to come out and rebel and go, screw all this responsibility, and then just go nuts. Right, but it's not in balance. It's this crazy back and forth.
Right.
Right. Or if we're just a real achiever, we will manifest situations, our jobs and our work, that's never ending. So there's never a space to be carefree. There's always something to be responsible and worry about.
You know, I got that going on.
Okay. And so I say to people, we could tap on money. And you could work with a business coach for 3 years straight, but if it's your paradigm is that I'm not allowed to have carefree fun, then you're never going to manifest the money in the work situation that allows that to be in place.
Right.
In our society, when you have money, that buys you time, that buys you fun. And I don't mean just enough, because just enough is just responsible. But it buys you the frivolous fun. Okay?
Yeah.
A little bit different. Right? The blowing off an entire day of work and playing.
Yeah.
To manifest our job and our money so that that's actually possible, because that's now a need that we're honoring. We're saying to the universe, I totally frickin' have this need. It's a little different than having a vow that says, oh, no, I'm willing to work hard. And I hear that all the time from people. Well, I mean, I'm willing to work hard. I am willing to work, which is great when there's some balance in it.
Right. Right?
And I like to say I'm willing to work hard also for a good 20 to 25 hours a week.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. That's the reality that I want to manifest.
Me too.
Right. I'm willing to work very hard for 10 hours.
Right? Not a day.
You're right. Deepak in a week. Deepak works, they say Deepak works like 2 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
I want to manifest like Deepak Chopra.
Me too.
So I want everyone to tune into that little child, and we're going to do a tapping round for that little child.
Okay. Thank you.
And so we're just going to tap right through the points. You can just let go of karate chop point or tap through it like it's one of the points. We don't even do the setup when we're tapping for the child, okay? And so just tapping through the points. There she is.
There she is.
That little child.
That little child.
And I feel so much compassion.
And I feel so much compassion.
So much forgiveness.
So much forgiveness.
So much sadness.
So much sadness.
For what I lost.
For what I lost.
What that little child lost.
What that little child lost.
Having fun.
Having fun.
Being carefree.
Being carefree.
She lost that word.
She lost that word.
And lost the feeling of carefree.
And lost the feeling of carefree.
I lost my childhood that day.
I lost my childhood that day.
And I became a little adult.
And I became a little adult.
Ultra responsible.
Ultra responsible.
And no need to play.
And no need to play.
All this sadness.
All this sadness.
I totally honor it.
I totally honor it.
Because it's honoring me.
Because it's honoring me.
And everything I lost.
And everything I lost.
if someone were to watch the real movie of this child?
If someone were to watch the real movie of this child,
they would weep for this child.
They would weep for this child.
It's a sad movie.
It's a sad movie.
So I honor my sadness.
So I honor my sadness.
So this child can be free.
So this child can be free.
All this sadness.
All this sadness.
I deserved better.
I deserved better.
I deserved fun.
I deserved fun.
I deserved to have needs.
I deserved to have needs.
I deserved to speak that truth.
I deserved to speak that truth.
And say, I want.
And to say, I want.
I still deserve it.
I still deserve it.
I totally honor this child.
I totally honor this child.
And I'm open to healing her today.
And I'm open to healing her today.
So I can honor my needs.
So I can honor my needs.
And recognize.
And recognize.
I have a calling in my life.
I have a calling in my life.
To heal this.
To heal this.
To be vulnerable.
To be vulnerable.
Which means to have needs.
Which means to have needs.
And allow the universe.
And allow the universe.
And other people.
And other people.
To hear my needs.
To hear my needs.
To honor that I create my boundaries.
To honor that I create my boundaries.
And I can create them appropriately.
And I can create them appropriately.
In each moment.
In each moment.
So I can feel my needs safely.
So I can feel my needs safely.
Ask for my needs safely.
Ask for my needs safely.
The child didn't know how to do that.
Child didn't know how to do that.
But I'm healing that today.
But I am healing that today.
Okay. Take a nice deep breath. Just take a look at that child again and see how they look now.
More confident.
Okay. A little calmer and
more at peace.
Okay. Does that child have needs?
Yes.
And are they very different from the needs you've been saying you would love in your life?
No.
Right.
That was very good.
So when we can't ask for our needs and we actually deny them, we actually don't allow intimacy, right? Second chakra is about intimacy with other people. So in our one-on-one relationships, we're not actually being that honest. We're not allowing people to meet our needs, and then we're always saying, nobody ever meets my needs. I'm always on my own. And when it comes to money, if we don't honor the bigger picture of our needs, then we're always saying to the universe, I just need enough to work and be responsible and do for other people, but I don't need fun money. That would be irresponsible. Right? Or I find people, they'll come into money and they will find a way to get rid of it. You know, they'll do something responsible with it. Or they'll donate it because it's not comfortable for them.
I have a need to save it.
Yeah, because I was just going to say that next. Or they create a thought pattern about it, right? That it, what if I lose it?
Right.
Right. I got to save it for something catastrophic.
Something bad will happen and I might need it.
Yeah. It's not to say that we want to go out and blow all our money in Vegas.
Right.
Right? But it's the opposite scenario. It's on some level you're saying, I don't need. That's not actually the truth of you.
True.
You know what I'm getting, Margaret, is that child, she doesn't trust me. She's looking at me and she's not budging on her numbness and her position. She really doesn't trust me or anybody else. She doesn't think it's going to change.
So what you're seeing there that comes up often is that there's still a lot of judgment the child does not trust you, knows that if she starts having fun, you will still judge her.
Right.
Right. So there, it's just showing you that you've still got some self-judgment there, which is the hallmark of the achiever, is that self-judgment. So what the child shows you is always really important. Right. So she's showing you, not safe yet. All right. I'm not going to feel anything yet, because you judge people who feel their feelings very harshly. So when I talked at the beginning, someone said, I want more of that. I want more of that sexy tapping. The way that we take that to the next level is we switch around the image.
And,
okay. So to take it to the next level, we actually bring up a shadow side. We switch the picture to someone that is really, really needy. To somebody in your life that, or that you've worked with, that really bugs you, that is, that's very, very much a poor me. Very needy, always asking for everyone to take care of them. Always needing to be rescued. Because that's where you'll see the extreme judgment you have. Not to say that that person is perfect, but when we really react to the extreme scenario, it just means that that's your judgment if you were to carry any of that. That's the Debbie Ford shadow work. Debbie Ford's book is Dark Side of the Light Chasers. And so I integrate that into this process, because that's where how we get to the next step. I'll let myself carry some needs, but. So if you want to do a little bit of that, I'm happy to keep going. I know some people have just an hour and they've got to run, but we can do a little bit of tapping on that process and see where it brings us.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that too.
Okay. So I just want you to take a last look at your inner child. And just note down how they look now. And when they look calmer or happier or maybe even smiling, I just want you to notice something really specific about them, about their energy, about a quality about them, because there's information in that. Where does their energy, how do they carry it in their body? Is it focused around their head, around their heart, around their core? And what quality is there about that child that you forgot about? Just note that down, because you're looking at a piece of your core right there, a piece that you've denied for a long time. And what does the child really want? What's the unmet need?
And so, Margaret, if our child is still feeling pretty sad, should we try and access like a part of her that's feeling smiling and a part of her that's happy?
Well, you've got more to do. So there's more sadness tapping for you to do. It just means that you could probably tap and cry for a good hour.
Okay.
Okay. And I like the metaphor that says, if an audience were to watch the movie, would they be sobbing? And if the answer is yes, then until you've sobbed like that for yourself, you're going to carry that wound around.
Okay.
All right, so there's some more sadness too. And there might be some specific other loss, something else specific. Sometimes when they stay sad, I'll say, okay, now what's in the sadness? And they'll bring up a whole other thing. You know, well, this is the specific thing. Or the child will say, actually, I'm pissed. And so now we're tapping on anger. So more to do there. And that's, you know, when I work with people individually, that's where we go really deep into that story. So I want to let the child go, because we're going to switch to this other process and see what we can do. So now what I want everyone to do is I want you to picture someone in your life or that you've known or worked with that is super needy. Okay. Now, the other way to do this is to picture, we're going to do needy, but you can do the same process with someone who's very sexualized and very goddessy and very flirty, because that'll also piss you off. But we'll start right now with someone that's really, you know, that's really needy, that's always got a drama and breaking down. And okay, and so I want you to picture that person. Maybe they're also one of those overly flirty people. Sometimes those things come together. But how do they look to you? How would you describe them if you were being openly nasty and judgmental?
Weak.
Self-centered.
Mm-hmm. Pathetic.
Rabby.
Rabby?
Rabby, clinging.
Invasive.
When we talked about the second chakra, that there's control issues there and that they can control by either being super needy or super dominating and invasive, you're looking at some of those second chakra control issues right now when somebody's super needy. Okay,
what's like I don't exist.
That you don't exist?
Yep.
Okay. It's all about them.
Oh, yeah.
A little narcissistic?
Little?
Oh, a lot.
Sorry for the giggle. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Needy.
Okay.
On one side, she's so needy that she created drama, and then on the other side, now in her life, she needs to be needed by others. You know, she's a ultra super caretaker for a hangnail for somebody. But then, you know, at the same token, I remember seeing videos of her as a young woman, and she would flirt as we would video her, you know, or other people, or she'd try to pretend to flash you, you know. And what you're saying now is just so perfect.
Yeah. So instead of always needing attention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's start tapping. Again, we're going to tap right through the points. There she is.
There she is.
Ugh.
Ugh.
So pathetic and needy.
So pathetic and needy.
So obviously narcissistic.
So obvious narcissistic.
Overly dramatic.
Overly dramatic.
Complaining and whining.
Complaining and whining.
Totally self-centered.
Totally self-centered.
And clingy.
And clingy.
Gag me.
Nagging me.
It's so pathetic.
It's so pathetic.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
I totally judge her.
I totally judge her.
And I totally should.
And I totally should.
She's weak.
She's weak.
And pathetic.
And pathetic.
And so needy.
And so needy.
She should be embarrassed.
She should be embarrassed.
And she isn't.
And she isn't.
She tells everyone.
She tells everyone.
How needy she is.
How needy she is.
It's pathetic.
It's pathetic.
I judge her.
I judge her.
I totally judge her.
I totally judge her.
Or I just dismiss her.
Or I just dismiss her.
Give me a break.
Give me a break.
Get it together.
Get it together.
How can you be so needy and pathetic?
How can you be so needy and pathetic?
Okay, take a nice deep breath. And I just want you to look at that person again. And just see how they look to you now. See if the picture's changed a little bit.
Margaret, the picture definitely changed. When you were talking about needy and pathetic, I was not able to say that, but I did say I wish she wasn't so needy and pathetic anymore, that I couldn't judge her. So I guess I'm excited about that, but, you know, it's just I wish a lot for this person, you know, it's not like I can hold that anymore, so I hope that's a good thing.
Margaret, for me, what happened was instead of me thinking of that person who I originally came up with as needy and pathetic, I saw myself as like a four-year-old child, needy and pathetic, which I've never seen my child look like that.
Okay.
So that was pretty intense.
Yeah, and so this is the reason why they trigger you so much, okay? Because they're an extreme. This person is obviously, an extreme, and that's why I pick someone that way, because it'll show you your judgment. And what this is telling you is that if there was a little piece of you, just a 12th of you, that was like this, you would judge it and stomp it into the ground before you could ever hear what it's asking for. And so I want you to look at that picture. What is the gift? I know that this person does it in an over-the-top, needy, clingy way, but what is the gift? What does she get to experience? Does she get supported?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Does she kind of get things the way she wants them?
Hi, this is Dr. Tilton.
Yeah.
Carrie. She's rich. She's got the money. And the person I came up with, I've got a whole list of lovely, lovely descriptors, but the thing that she does extraordinarily well is just rake in cash. It's amazing. It's somewhat annoying.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, what's the gift in the narcissist?
Uh-huh.
Does the narcissist have any doubt in their mind that they're fucking valuable? Excuse my French.
No.
And that's what a narcissist would say, wouldn't they?
Uh-huh.
When we do this sort of shadow process, this is your shadow, and this is how much you judge this part of you. So if you had a little part of you that was calling you to get more support in your life, to honor your deserving more, you would judge it so harshly that you never get the gift from that part. There's always a gift in the shadow. So how often do you let yourself get supported? You know, what about when she's really sad about something? Do people rush up and give her hugs?
Not really, actually.
Okay.
No, I do.
Okay. You know, we're looking at somebody who's an extreme, right? But we always want to look at the gift in that. So we're going to tap one more round on this and just sort of bring it full circle. So tapping through the points again. There she is.
There she is.
And I really have judged her.
And I really have judged her.
And everybody like her.
And everybody like her.
As unacceptable.
As unacceptable. I'm just going to honor.
That there's a really needy part of me.
That there's a really needy part of me.
That's calling me.
That's calling me.
To be more supported.
To be more supported.
To be more honest.
To be more honest.
That I have needs.
That I have needs.
So people can support me.
So people can support me.
I totally honor.
I totally honor.
That I have an inner narcissist.
That I have an inner narcissist.
That's kind of all about me.
That's kind of all about me.
That would love to rake in the cash.
That would love to rake in the cash.
Just so I could roll in it.
Just so I could roll in it.
I have an inner narcissist.
I have an inner narcissist.
Even though I pretend that I don't.
Even though I pretend that I don't.
By doing, doing, doing.
By doing, doing, doing.
And giving and sacrificing.
And giving and sacrificing.
The truth is I have an inner narcissist.
The truth is I have an inner narcissist.
That wants things.
That wants things.
That thinks I rock.
That thinks I rock.
That feels really deserving.
That feels really deserving.
100% deserving.
100% deserving.
Of good things coming my way.
Of good things coming my way.
There's a little part of me.
There's a little part of me
that would love to just be clingy.
That would love to just be clingy.
Just for a night.
Just for a night.
Let someone else.
Let someone else.
Take care of me.
Take care of me.
And be the weak one.
And be the weak one.
Just for a few hours.
Just for a few hours.
I totally honor.
I totally honor.
All of me.
All of me.
My giving side.
My giving side.
My selfless side.
My selfless side.
My really big heart.
My really big heart.
And my narcissist.
And my narcissist.
I'm all of those things.
I'm all of those things.
I totally honor.
I totally honor.
That I'm self-sufficient.
I'm self-sufficient.
And I'm strong.
And I'm strong.
And I'll always be a responsible adult.
And I'll always be a responsible adult.
And I'm also needy.
And I'm also needy.
And vulnerable.
And vulnerable.
Would love support.
But love support.
So I can rest.
So I can rest.
And be irresponsible.
Be irresponsible.
And carefree.
And carefree.
Maybe just for the weekend.
Maybe just for the weekend.
I honor all of me.
I honor all of me.
All the way down.
All the way down.
To my first and second chakra.
To my first and second chakra.
That I often deny.
That I often deny.
And all the way up.
And all the way up.
Through who I am.
Through who I am.
In my heart.
In my heart.
In my beautiful mind.
My beautiful mind.
I honor all of me.
I honor all of me.
I honor my deserving.
I honor my deserving.
And how much I want to live life.
And how much I want to live life.
Not exist.
Not exist.
Live life to the fullest.
Live life to the fullest.
As I honor that.
As I honor that.
I call to me.
I call to me.
Everything I need.
Everything I need.
To live life to the fullest.
To live life to the fullest.
Money.
Money.
Resources.
Resources.
People.
People.
Ideas.
Ideas.
Passion.
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 I'm calling it all to me now.
I'm calling it all to me now.
So I can feel myself living my life.
So I can feel myself living my life.
Instead of just doing.
Instead of just doing.
Okay, take a nice deep breath. That was a good bonus round.
That was awesome.
How did that feel? Yeah, second chakra is very, you know, complicated, so there's a lot there. But that shadow process is how we take it to the next level. Okay, because we get at the judgment, the part of you that says, well, I'm never going to go that needy. I'm never going to actually be needy. So I just want you to take a picture and look back at that person that you were tuning into and just see how they look now.
Happy, excited.
And how does it feel in your body? Where's the energy moving?
In my heart.
I think in my stomach.
Okay, good. So a little lower for you. That's good. The lower stomach will be the second chakra, and the sort of the middle, the solar plexus, will be the third chakra.
Second and third chakra for me.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. And so here's the thing, is that right now you're feeling your core. Okay. And so how does it really know? How does it feel like? How is the energy moving? Does it have a direction or a flow? So that you can come back to this feeling. Because what would it be like if you brought this feeling to everything you do? Right? This is the quality of you, the feeling of you. And so your homework is, I want everyone to practice saying to at least one other person, and even if it's a tongue-in-cheek way, you know, I have needs too. Okay? So whether you say it to yourself, but I want to make sure you say it to at least another person. Somehow, some way, You know, I have needs too. And just see what that's like. It's sort of become a joke for me because I've done a lot of this work around really owning my needs and being shocked at how I am a completely pathetically needy person, and I'm gonna totally own it. So I want you to play around with that. I have needs too, you know, and see who you shock with that statement. Any last comments about how people are feeling, what's going on in your body?
Much lighter, much more hopeful.
The energy is flowing really good. It's very excited and happy and joyful.
Yeah. So for you, you know, what would it be like for you to bring more of your heart into everything you do?
Awesome. Powerful.
Yeah, what would that be like? That takes some mulling. I remember, you know, when Reese was saying similar things to me a couple of years ago or a year ago, and I was like, I can't do that. I can't share my heart with people and actually be me. I'm an EFT practitioner. I have to be, you know, I have to be over here and they're over there. Mm-hmm. I can't bring my heart into it. I mean, I can do that with my family. It took me like weeks to wrestle with that one. Right, so what would that be like to bring that feeling into what you do, to share that, to own it, speak the truth of that?
It would feel really good and freeing.
Yeah. Good. Okay, we've gone a little bit over, so thanks, guys, for hanging in there with me. It's going to take a while to download this one.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you again and again, though. Thank you.